May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were to draw a map of your life, what would it look like? How might we represent the joyful, the painful, and the confusing times of our lives? This is an exercise I've sometimes asked people to do on a retreat. And the point of such an exercise is not simply to think about different outward events, circumstances, or episodes of our lives, but also the way God has touched us through those experiences, where and how our faith and trust in God has grown and deepened. In drawing such a map, we might want to include pleasant, sunny hills or mountaintops, but also dark valleys or dry deserts, swamps or dense forests where we seem to go round and round in circles. Sometimes the way ahead in our lives may seem direct and clear. At other times, there are many twists and turns and seeming dead ends. But sometimes it's in the deserts and the swamps rather than the sunny hilltops that we learn to trust God most deeply. There may be, of course, significant milestones along the way. I reached a milestone this last Tuesday when I turned 60. And this was not only a very joyful celebration for me and my family and friends and our church family, but also a significant personal milestone as my mother died shortly after her 60th birthday. Yesterday, some of us watched the coronation of King Charles III, a significant milestone in his life and in the life of the British nation. But sometimes the significant paths and milestones in our lives are not the ones we expect. The paths we take and the staging posts along the way do not always turn out to be exactly what we thought they were going to be. We can't plan our lives or map out our lives ahead of time. There are often surprises, both pleasant ones and painful ones. I would never have thought I would end up working in Switzerland, which of course has been a pleasant surprise. We cannot make our lives just what we would want them to be. Yet, although there are many twists and turns and there may be many painful challenges to face, although we may be unsure of the precise details of the path ahead of us, we can be confident in a deep sense of the way before us. Jesus tells his disciples in our gospel reading, "I am the way." He doesn't say, "I will teach you the way," or "I will show you the way," or even "I will guide you on the way," but "I am the way." What does this mean? Jesus is speaking to his disciples as he looks ahead to his death. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he says. Well, of course, they are troubled and afraid. Jesus' message is that they must trust him. "Believe in God and believe also in me," he tells them. He's not asking them to believe a set of propositions in a detached way. He's not talking about believing a set of facts, but about trust. "Trust me," he says. Then he goes on to talk about the Father's house where there are many dwelling places. There is room for them, there is room for us. And Jesus will prepare a place for them and a place for us. But the important thing about the dwelling place is not so much where it is or what it's like, but that the Father dwells there. We are invited into God's home to live with him. As it says in the book of Revelation, in the depiction of the new heavens and the new earth, "The home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples." Heaven is where God dwells, and Jesus is the way there. But when Jesus says, "I am the way," he's not just talking about giving us a ticket to some distant, unimaginable heavenly destination in the future. He is the way to the Father, and this way is open now. And when Jesus talks about the Father, as he does frequently in these chapters of John's Gospel, he's not picturing a distant authority figure. The term Father is about intimacy of relationship. Jesus is emphasizing the intimacy of his relationship with God, an intimacy that we can share. We can see and know God our Father here and now, even if the fullness of that knowledge will only be complete when we dwell with God forever. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. When we've seen and known and put our trust in Jesus, we can see and know God. And we are drawn into the same intimate relationship Jesus has with his Father. The way Jesus offers is also a way of truth and life. Truth. What is truth? Pilate asks Jesus when he's standing before him on trial. It's a very modern sounding question. Certainly for us today, there is a confusing array of truths before us, and we are encouraged to create our own truth and to make our own identity for ourselves. But Jesus says he is the truth. Not that he's teaching a few good things about us being nice to one another, but that he is the truth in himself. This is a very startling claim, an outrageous claim, but it is right at the heart of the Christian faith. Similarly, Jesus says he is the life. Not just that he shows the way to life or teaches us a few good things about a godly way of life. No, he is the life. He has life in himself, just as the Father does. And the life that is in the Father is also in the Son, and that life is the self-giving life of love. This is the life Jesus offers to us now and also in the future. Life and truth are found in him, and we are drawn into that self-giving love he shares with the Father. Right at the center of the Christian faith is the person of Jesus. Not just his teaching and his example, but Jesus himself. As we read John's Gospel, we learn more and more that we cannot see and know God except through the Son. It is through Jesus that we know the love God has for us and are drawn into that love now and forever. When we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father, as Jesus tells his disciples. We cannot come to know God through our own human intelligence or insight, but God has chosen to reveal himself to us in Christ. He has made himself known to us. In the words of a previous Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, God is Christ-like, and in him is no un-Christ-likeness at all. When we look at Christ, we can see God. Now, of course, there's always more to discover about God. We cannot sum God tidily up and put him in our pocket. God is beyond us, and yet he is uniquely revealed in Jesus. Jesus is central to the Christian faith. He is the way. And it's interesting that the early Christians were known as followers of the way. They were followers, following Jesus along the way he had walked, but doing so with him and in him. His story became their story. His story becomes our story as our lives are joined to his. So following Jesus does not leave us unchanged. As we follow Jesus, we become more like him. We can see the significance of Jesus and how following him can change us when we look at the account of Stephen's death in our reading from Acts. As Stephen is being stoned to death because of his faith in Christ, he sees the heavens opened and Jesus, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. This echoes the experience of Jesus at his baptism when he saw the heavens torn apart. But in Stephen's vision, the resurrected and glorified Jesus has taken his place alongside the Father. And then Stephen, before his death, prays, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Again, this echoes Jesus' words on the cross when he prays to God, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus commits his spirit to the Father. Stephen commits his spirit to the Lord Jesus. The risen and glorified Lord is one with the Father. Stephen worships the Lord Jesus. He trusts the Lord Jesus. He also becomes like the Lord he follows. His last words are, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Again, echoing Jesus' words on the cross as he prays for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." To follow Jesus is to worship him, to trust him, and to become like him. We cannot plot out our own lives. We don't know what's round the corner. As we seek to follow Christ, we don't know exactly where that will lead us in terms of how and where we may be called to serve him. We don't know what situations we are going to be called upon to learn from and grow through. But we can be confident that in trusting Jesus, we are on the right path. He is our way. As one commentator puts it, when we are joined to Christ, we are on a track we can trust. Jesus says, "Trust in God, trust also in me. I am the way." Amen.